Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you thinking about starting a podcast but don't know where to start? Let me take a second to tell you about Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast across a plethora of listening platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the big ones. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. And best of all, completely free. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, do yourself a favor and check out anchor.fm or download the app to get started.
Hey everyone, if you're enjoying Inquiries of Our Reality, do me a favor and drop me a review or rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, come join the Discord or Telegram groups for the show. If you haven't already, don't forget to follow me across social media to stay updated on the show. If you'd like to support the show, you can subscribe to my Patreon for just $5 a month, where you will receive early access to Inquiries of Our Reality, Big Dumb Inquiries, and Bizarre Encounters. You can also support the show by donating on Anchor or Ko-fi, which will help me upgrade equipment and hopefully eventually do this full time so I can put out even more awesome content for you guys. If you guys want some t-shirts or other awesome merchandise for Inquiries of Our Reality, Big Dumb Inquiries, or Bizarre Encounters, stop by my Teespring store and get yourself something nice. If you're a creator or a listener, come check out Open Minds Media. We have an awesome community of great people who would love to meet you. From our featured creator podcast feed, to chat rooms, to even help questions, this is the place for you. For more information on the community, the podcast feed, and to stay updated on all the new things coming, check us out on social media, and all their links are available on our link tree. And last but not least, if anyone is interested in being a guest on the show, sponsoring the show, has a topic they want covered on the show, or you feel you can contribute to the show in any way, shape, or form, shoot me a message on social media, or feel free to email me at inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com. All the links I mentioned are in the show description. Just tap or click the Linktree link to be directed. Or remember, linktr.ee/inquiriesofourrealitypodcast. Thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate all of you, and I couldn't be doing this without your support. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything. Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Inquiries of Our Reality with Shane Jones.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 59th episode of Inquiries of Our Reality. I apologize in advance for the fact that my throat's a little bit messed up this week, so just bear with me. This week, I have one of my personal favorite podcasters, Charlie Robinson from Macro Aggressions. How's it going today, man?
It's going all right, but let's be honest. Have you watched our president lately? Have you been on the internet and checking the news? It feels like the wheels are falling off of reality. You know what I mean? And so, I guess everything is fine right now, but
it's like calm before the storm. It's like the eye of the storm before more stuff's about to fall. Because I've been hearing a lot of people saying that they think a lot of crazy stuff's going to happen before the end of this year.
Yeah. And imagine how insane it is to think that right now is the calm before the storm, you know, because now seems a little crazy. I've been telling, like, I have, you know, for my, one of my sponsors is like a food preparedness company. And it's like, I'm talking about this. I'm like reminding people that, like, I feel like we're in the calm before the storm. And you normally don't get advance notice that the insanity is coming. It usually is just like, boom, 9/11. And then it's there. But we have like the benefit of recognizing that, like, things look way crazier, or like the supply chain issues take like a couple months of, you know, for that whole thing to work its way through until it actually gets to you and affects you. You could say, oh, they're shutting down the ports in China. That sounds really bad. That's going to be bad for us. It is, but it's going to be like 4 months from now. So you get this unique opportunity to take care of some things in advance, you know? And it's just rare that we have the ability to kind of see the tsunami coming.
Yeah, the doomsday preppers don't seem so crazy now to people.
No.
Like, I've been taking my time to learn how to can, how to ferment, how to do all this kind of stuff. I have chickens in my backyard.
We owe the preppers an apology for ever making fun of that. I mean, you guys might have gotten a little carried away. You know, I watched Doomsday Preppers, and I see you guys with your 8 million cans of tomato sauce. But you're right. You know, like, what's the harm in being less dependent on the supply chain or the government or your grocery stores or Amazon or the banks? Not, you know, like, why not take care of this stuff in advance? And like, the more that you can do yourself, or the more that you can sort of keep in-house, I feel like the better off you'll be when things start to get bad. And what's the worst that happens, right? You're ready in the event of a natural disaster, let's just say, you know, not zombie apocalypse like we're maybe heading towards.
Almost anything, though, because I mean, even just like learning little skills here and there, like, you know, it seems like it's tedious, but when shit hits the fan, at least you know how to do something. Like, for example, I learned how to sew, so theoretically, like, you just bend the needle, so if I was ever in a situation where I needed to make like a quick stitch, like, I would know how to do that now. And it's like, it's skills that you collect, because you never know when they might be useful. They'll pop up way later in your life. Even if shit doesn't hit the fan, at least you have those skills and nobody can take them away from you.
Yeah, no, for sure. How do you quantify that? Like, you've got a marketable skill. If anything ever goes wrong, you can do this or that, you know how to can. And like, I have a lot to learn about this whole world. And cause I thought things were going to get bad, but I didn't think, I don't know. I mean, I just didn't know that it would happen quite this soon, you know?
I mean, I feel like after COVID started, it was kind of like everybody was starting to notice all of these lies. So yeah. It's one of those things where they just started trying to throw everything at you full blast, so that you can't pick apart each thing as it comes, because by the time you start trying to pick that last thing apart, they're already throwing something new at you. So it's like almost like a distraction to keep you in this fear state, because you can't figure out what the hell was still happening with the last thing.
I think the government learned a very valuable lesson when they locked down Americans during COVID, is that it gave them a time to finally stop being in the rat race and look at the very obvious lies of the government. And they went, oh, they're everywhere. It was really strategically idiotic for the government to do that, because now it gave all these people, all these normies, free time to read, to figure out what was going on, to actually process the, when you're busy. And I've been in this world where you're like, in that corporate world, and you're going to work and you're just all about it because it's just never ending, and the emails are coming to your phone and you know, and all that stuff. You really don't have time to process the news, like what's happening and everything. I mean, maybe if you're like super into it, but if you're just like the casual guy, like when I was working in new home sales and real estate, I was so busy. I just, the idea of me like getting into the details of some bill that's being proposed, like I just didn't have time for it. But if all that goes away, if all of that work day goes away and you're now at home in front of your computer all day long, all of a sudden for some people, it gave them the ability to pay attention. For others, obviously it shut their brains off.
Yeah. The people are like, still wearing masks now, 3 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me think of that Yuri Bezmenov video where he's talking about how, like, when you brainwash somebody for 60 days in a row with fear, after, you know, like on the 61st day, theoretically, you could insert new good news to them. You could say, oh, all that stuff we'd been showing, talking about for the last 60 days, that's all cleared up. It was all wrong. You're fine. Everything's fine. We're all good. You can go. And he said it wouldn't matter. Their brains were broken. They just would never recover from that. And I watched a lot of people, you know, I think go through, he's given that interview to Ed Griffin in 1979, you know, and it's like, you're listening to it and you're like, this is like the most relevant information I've heard in quite some time. And it's 40 years old.
I mean, you see it even with like the COVID vaccine, that they pushed it along that it's so safe, so effective that they finally released the Pfizer documents and everybody was just like, no. That's like exactly what you're talking about. You know,
they didn't want to prove themselves wrong. You know, like they could read the Pfizer documents and see like, oh my God, this stuff is crazy. It's crazy what they're doing in here. This is insane. But to do that is to admit that you've been totally wrong and scared for no reason for the last couple of months or maybe even years. And that's just too much for some people. So they just kind of buy into the lie and they just go with it, and or they never question it too much because look, I mean, now you have to, you know, they have to reevaluate their whole way of viewing the world. If they're not, I mean, what, for somebody that's taken two vaccines, are they really going to examine the vaccine at that point? What are they going to find? That it's super dangerous? Now what?
Say they can't go back. So it's one of those things that ignorance becomes bliss because they'd rather not know what's going on because they already have it and they can't go back from it. So I think it's just one of those things that people just want to ignore it to make themselves feel better, you know?
And then a step further is they actively defend it.
Yeah.
Because now they've got to, they're pot committed at this point. You know, they've taken it. They're in, they're on that team. There's no going back. So I might as well be the best vaccinated person ever. And so I'll fucking defend it and I'll fight you and I'll blah, blah, blah. And I think maybe some of that is projection. I think some of it is that they're secretly not feeling very good about their decision to do that. And they're really terrified and they're lashing out and acting insane because that's sort of like they're projecting strength, but they really feel weakness because they're having second thoughts, because it's undeniable that people all around the world are dropping.
Yeah.
Okay. And everyone's going, oh, I wonder what it is. What could it be? It's sad. Sudden adult. I mean, it's idiotic. Right. And yet, you know, that this is what it is. There's a segment of the population that refuses to acknowledge it, which is fascinating to watch and frustrating. And then you just watch what happens. This has been, as a writer, like the most amazing time to be alive, to be able to watch how this the COVID thing played out. We're like with the media and the government and pharma and the military all working together. It's been really fascinating to watch it. It's like watching a slow motion 9/11.
Dude, honestly,
2 years to develop.
People are figuring it out too. Cause like, look at the up spike in people doing podcasts like this, for example, too. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of like people finally, like it's a good and a bad thing. Cause obviously COVID was never a good thing in the first place, but right, if it wasn't for that, like we wouldn't be able to be sitting here talking about the things that we're talking about now. So in a way, it kind of like gave a push for people to actually start figuring out what's going on. And if it didn't happen, then we'd all still be living in this, you know, post-COVID world where you're looking at people that are talking about the things that we talk about and you just look at them like they're crazy. And now it's gotten to a point where the world's so crazy that people are looking at us that they would have thought we were crazy 3 years ago. And they're actually going, wow, like you guys have a point now.
They're saying, explain it. Tell me how it works. Tell me what's going on. So it's like there's three events. There's JFK, there's 9/11, and there's COVID. And in each of these major events that they put forward, there will always be a segment of the population that will rightly figure out that there's something wrong with it. And it's going to open their eyes to, if this is a lie, then what else is a lie? So the thing about COVID that is good, and there's not much good about it, obviously, but there, if we're gonna find something good about it, it's that it always has this blowback effect where it winds up waking up a segment of the population to this fuckery, because the story is not very well crafted and there's a lot of holes. And when you start picking at them, you can see it, the whole story falls apart, and they know that. So there's a segment of the population that's going to wake up to 9/11 because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
That had never thought about 9/11 before.
They're
just going to go, if this is a lie, COVID, which it is, because they're experiencing it. They're watching the gaslighting from, they're watching people they know fall over dead from the vaccine. They're watching the government say nothing to see here. Pfizer saying, we don't want to show you the documents for 75 years. You can't sue us. All of a sudden, they're looking at this and they're going, this is an orchestrated heist. This is a war crime being committed. And they see it and they go, if this is a lie, what else is a lie? Hey, what about those 9/11 guys that I always thought were insane? Maybe I'll watch a video about that. And then they see that and they go, holy shit, it's mm-hmm. all that same group coming back.
Yep. Yeah. And I say they just interchange different people and they keep pushing the same agendas. And it's all like a different method of doing it, but it still has the same steps in the process that you like create an enemy, which is what they tried to do with China, which is what they did with the people in the Middle East when it came to 9/11. And then they have a traumatic event that makes everybody freak out and feel like they need to be united and like combine as a country and be patriotic. And then the next step after that is then they keep pushing the fear of like, be afraid of these people, be afraid of this, be afraid of that. And then people just fall into it. And it's just a continuous cycle. Like
there's two things that I've noticed that's the common denominator: an invisible enemy, terrorism, COVID, global warming, the invisible enemy. You can't see it, but it's a huge, big threat to you. It's definitely going to kill you unless you give away your rights and give us a lot of tax dollars. That if you do that, then we'll be able to fix it. When you see that, then you know you're on the right track. And also, a second common denominator that you will always find is the mainstream media driving the getaway car for these fuckers. Mm-hmm. They'll always cover for them. That is essential to selling JFK, 9/11, and COVID. You have to have full media cooperation. And that's what we've seen. That's where we've seen the lies in conjunction with the Faucis and these guys getting coordinated interviews where they come in. And that's why social media was deplatforming people. That's why YouTube was deplatforming people. They had to protect that message because they knew it was going to be a crappy one. It wasn't very well done because it was rushed. So anything that was like shining any light on it, they had to get rid of that because they knew their story wasn't very strong. It wasn't going to hold up to any sort of scrutiny. So that's why we saw all this deplatforming. It's like, I think once people see that and they go, yeah, you're right, man. That is why all these people went away. Then, you know, it opens them up to the possibility that a lot of this stuff is controlled, that the media is very much still in the hands of the intelligence agencies, and that this is all necessary to sell these giant operations. The rest of the time, you know, let the media talk about like Kim Kardashian. They don't give a shit. But when it's some big event like COVID, they just have to have everybody on board with that. And so that's why I call the media co-conspirators in this whole thing. And that when the Nuremberg trials come, that the media be tried and if found guilty, executed.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like they were in the actual Nuremberg trials, because they're partners in this crime, maybe even at like very integral partners in this.
You want to talk about another crime that the media is also pushing too, is the whole like woke agenda concept. And it's getting weird to the fact where like we have somebody, I think her name's Tudor Dixon, that's running for governor of Michigan. And part of her campaign is like, I'm going to take wokeism out of schools. Kids need to be learning, not learning about sex or some shit like that. And it's like me coming from like a conspiracy minded type people. I'm like, all right, what is your agenda that you're trying to do? Because you're clearly trying to get people like me's vote and people like us. That's just kind of showing like we're becoming like a demographic because there's so many of us that they're now pushing political campaigns to be what we see. And they're trying to like play that whole role of like, hey, check it out, I'm a good guy, I'm your friend. And you know that they're going to end up flipping the second they get to be in office because they're playing everybody. And it's like the people that they're trying to play are the ones that aren't going to get played, because we're like, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Like, why would you completely try to destroy your campaign by saying that you're against anti-woke idea, have anti-woke ideas? Like, it's just weird.
Yeah, the woke stuff is weird, man. I was just talking about this. You know, there's a transhumanist component to it. When you're taking genders and confusing that, and you're taking the House of Representatives passing laws in the summer of 2021, making it so that you're not allowed to say the words father, mother, brother, sister, uncle, son, anything, any of those terms that are used to describe a family are now banned. You can't use them in the House of Representatives. You start looking at all this and you go, this is like very unhuman thing. You know, it's we're moving away from that. And this woke agenda comes in with the with all the 57 genders and we need to have third bathrooms. And it feels like they're trying to get us in a very asexual position.
Honestly, where I think it's part of
toxic masculinity.
Control.
You know, masculinity is toxic. It's like, holy shit, like anything they can do to get people to not come together, especially like in a reproductive way, pushing the trans stuff, no pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
Pride month, you know, everybody's got to make a big deal. It's like, so I feel it's like a soft kill population reduction.
Honestly, too. And then they're starting to groom kids with that kind of stuff. Cause then you have like the kids that's sitting a,
then
in
that's
the
an
clubs.
Investment in the next generation. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to worry. Ooh, like you want to really take care of the population. Like let's get these kids young thinking that everybody, you can be cake gender.
Dude, I was ranting about this the other day to my girlfriend saying that, you know, there's these trans people that'll come into schools and like read books to kids, and all these kids will be like, I'm trans, and they're like, oh, I did such a good thing. And then I made the point of like, hey bro, you come in dressed up like a superhero, read a comic book, all the kids are going to get up and say, I want to be a superhero. Doesn't matter what it is, if you make it sound entertaining to the kids, they're going to hop on it. You're not doing something good, you're just again pushing them into a certain method of thinking when they haven't even gotten to a point in their life where they're even thinking about those types of things yet. And then once you start rolling the ball on that, you got the woke parents that are like, sure, we'll start trying to do this for you, we'll buy you binders, we'll do all this. Then it's like you're halfway through it, and then you become a teenager, and that's when your emotions flip back and forth even more. And it's like, what are you going to do at that point? Like you can't go back again once you start doing that kind of stuff. Like your body's already been like messed up essentially, because you have things that are in your body that aren't supposed to be in your body. Like you got testosterone coming in if you're a female, you got estrogen coming in if you're a male. Like you can't really go back from that. Mm-hmm. Like males will start forming like boobs and things like that, and girls will start getting like facial hair and everything. Like it's essentially, if you stop taking the medicines that they try to give you after butchering you up, like you're gonna be more of like a half breed than anything. Because your body's going to start trying to take back control. Because as you see with buildings outside, like nature is going to try to take back over as much as it can. And it'll just grow around what you tried to do.
It's a slippery slope. It's a really bad idea. And unfortunately, it's been planned long in advance. I got a Tom DeLay clip from him in 2015 talking about how he's been sitting inside meetings I think he was the House Whip or something. Pretty high ranking guy. No, Majority Speaker of the House, Tom DeLay. He said that he sat in meetings where they talked openly. They said that they were going to be normalizing 12 perversions, including sex with children and bestiality.
See where I'm at? You touch my kid, you're going to die.
he said he sat in the meetings where they said that this is what they're going to do. That's 2015. He knew that this was coming. And so you can, you know, in 2016, you hear that and you go, really? Is that sounds kind of crazy. Maybe he's just being, but now look at it.
Yeah. And see, they try to normalize it too by changing the words. Like pedophile has a ring to it. Now they're trying to say, what is it?
Minor attracted person.
Yeah. Minor attracted person, trying to make it sound better, but at the root of it, like, you're still a pedophile.
Why are you whitewashing pedophilia, man? Like these people are like, oh, we need to normalize it. And it's a sexuality, a sexual preference. It's like, dude, it's sex with children. It's fucking off limits. It's not all right.
Illness. That's under like any circumstance.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck what your religious upbringing is. It's not okay. Because your God says it's fine or whatever. Not okay. Touch my kid. I take my chances with a jury.
Yeah. And I'll take my mugshot smiling too. I'll happily go to jail. I don't care how legal that becomes. If anybody tries to touch one of my kids, it's over.
You've seen that video clip, right? From the early 80s of the dude who's at the payphone in the airport.
Oh, I may have. Refresh
and
me.
And they're walking this prisoner off down, you know, through the airport, you know, sort of like airways, and he's handcuffed behind his back, and there's two cops with him. And there's a guy at the payphone. pretending to be on the payphone. It's the dad of the boy that guy raped. And they're transporting him to prison. And he hangs that payphone up and pulls out a gun and just blows that guy's brains out.
Because that's what people don't get to.
On live TV, because they're filming the whole thing. It's a big deal that this guy's getting like transferred, right? They're like taking him off somewhere. And you just see this guy on live TV just swings. And I remember that from years ago, and now there's clips of it going around, and now they've actually made it a meme where you can just see him like hanging up, and like they've given him like laser eyes and everything. You can see the gun because you know what he's gonna do. Like, it's like the guy raped his kid.
Yeah.
And like, then and by the way, it came about recently because the guy died, the dad died of natural causes. Never spent a day in jail.
That's what I was going to say. Even if you went to jail, you know that everybody in the jail was going to treat him with the utmost respect.
He'd be a fucking hero. Yeah. Okay. Send me to prison. Make me the king of the prison. Okay.
Yeah. You're untouchable at that point.
Yeah. But he did not spend a day in jail and died like a week ago.
Wow.
And it was like a lot of people were like, oh man, pour one out for this guy.
Yeah, literally.
But back to this culture of that. And that's kind of what they're wanting to normalize that. They want to get rid of the word groomer on Twitter, you know, to which the Reddit community, being the trolls that they are, came up with the new term predator. That is spelled like Reddit predator. So, you know, I mean, look, this is a hill to die on.
And I'll gladly die on that hill, because the good news is, again, too, even after COVID, I feel like people are more willing to take a stand about things. So even when it comes to that, where they start trying to normalize intercourse with children, like, there's going to be, I think this is more than half of the population is going to stand up and be like, no, 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 no.
This is going to be a fuck around and find out situation for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Chris Hansen saying, please have a seat over there. It's going to be some dad with a 357 who just blows your brains out.
Honestly, yeah.
And he says, you know what, man, I've seen guilty people walk free. I'm partially guilty, but I think the jury is tired of this shit, and I'm willing to take my chances.
See, another thing people don't consider too is that, like, most of the time pedophiles don't get life. So theoretically, like, they mess somebody up for the rest of their life, and that's something they can never take back. So whether they have 20 years, 40 years, 50 years in jail, it's never going to make up for what they did. And people are going to be like, oh, it's fine, they served their time. But it's like, no, they didn't serve their time, because the person that they did this to is going to live with that till the day they die. And there's no coming back from that.
Yeah. And see, there's no appetite for that, because the people that would make the laws that would keep those pedophiles in prison forever are pedophiles themselves. The people running Congress, you know, the people in there, and that whole network of dirty money that comes in. These are the worst people in the world. Most of them sick, deranged lunatics that are allowed to rise to these positions of power specifically because they're compromised, and they're compromised with this sort of behavior. And so there's no appetite from them to want to like throw the book at pedophiles, because they're like, if I ever get caught, you know, that's what they're thinking. So it's a weird, it should be like universally just a given that you throw the fucking book at them. And yet a lot of times it doesn't happen. And in California and in New York, we're starting to see these really weird woke. I did an episode on these woke district attorney weirdos that are really decriminalizing everything and screwing up the cities, like San Francisco, obviously you saw there, Los Angeles, Philly, and New York. It's like the crime is rampant because they're like, police, you know, prosecute, file cases, get charges, whatever. Let's try not doing that.
You go back to mob mentality, where you put them in the center of town and you just let people throw rocks at them for a week.
Right.
Or just push them into general population in prison, see how long they last there.
Right, exactly. Listen, you do the crime, then you do the time. And I say put them in general pop. Yeah, I watched enough National Geographic lockup to know what happens. It's not good.
Yeah, but they try to keep it quiet, but those type of people almost have a look to them, though, where I feel like people in prison, because half of them are there probably for defending their kids, things like that. Like, no matter how hard the criminal is, 9 out of 10 times, like, they're protective of kids and they would totally understand that shit. And it's like, you could have a gangbanger that killed 30 people. And if somebody comes in that's a pedophile, like, he knows that's a no-no, even though he killed 30 people, and he'll go after that guy. Like, that just shows that even, like, the worst hardened criminals are still against that. And that just shows, like, why aren't the rest of us like that? Like, why is it that we're normalizing it when even, like, the worst criminals you can think of know that that's a no-no?
Because there's a sicko class out there. It's the Epsteins and the Savils and their clientele and that whole group of wealthy, insulated, protected, psychopath weirdos, predators, you know, the predator class, is, as it's been called.
They got a bunch of banked up blackmail, too, because anybody that's been to their islands or anybody that's associated with them, like, if they did something once, I guarantee you they took pictures. So at that point, like, nobody can go back against them, because as soon as they try to say, hey, this person's a pedophile, they're going to go, hey, look at this picture of you with this kid.
Yeah. I mean, and now it, you don't, now the technology exists. It's like, you don't even have to have the guy there. You can just make it look like he was there. So it's like, the Epsteins have been replaced by AI, I guess. I don't know. I mean, you don't even need to have that, but, you know, that's how it works. You get these guys like, Dennis Hastert, Speaker of the House, was like a notorious pedophile, and he had raped a bunch of his students when he was a wrestling coach, and they knew this, and he was in third in command, and he was, everyone's like, how did this happen? It's like, that's how it happens. That's how you have to have that guy. You have to have the pedophile guy as the third in command so that you've got him by the balls forever. Yeah. You can make him do whatever you want him to do, whenever you want him to do it. Are you kidding me? That is the perfect guy. So it's like, everyone's like, well, I can't believe these guys are such fuck ups that get into office. It's like, that's exactly why they are in office, is because they have these flaws. Like, they can't stop fucking their secretaries or doing cocaine or raping kids or some crazy thing. They're like, I can't believe there's another one that's crazy. It's like, there has to be something about them.
See, I think Jimmy Savile was that to the royal family, because he was a procurer of
children for the royal family. That was what he did.
Yeah. And you know how, just how they leave that out of the Netflix documentary. Cause one thing I've noticed, even with the Epstein one, that if you see a Netflix documentary about a pedophile, or even any documentary that's mainstream about a pedophile,
it's not going to go hard enough.
It's controlling the narrative. That's what they're trying to do. Because what they did with the Jimmy Savile thing is they tried to make any guilt come off of the royal family. Like, oh, we didn't know, even though there was all these signs for years and years and years. Same with Epstein.
When Charles and Diana were having, I don't know if it said this I didn't see the second part. I saw the first part. I didn't see the second part of the documentary. But when Charles and Diana were married and were having marital problems, they brought Jimmy Savile in to be the negotiator.
Yeah, that they did mention that. And I thought that was really weird, too, because I think low key, just an idea. Maybe, I don't know if other people have thought about this, but maybe he was having intercourse with kids, obviously, with Jimmy Savile, and Diane figured out about it. So that's why she had the mysterious, you know, death. Was because she was probably going to expose it, because maybe she's not part of that thing. But at the same time, though, you know, she could have been another Ghislaine Maxwell. Like, who knows?
That's exactly why one of course. Yeah. She knew what was happening. She was, by all accounts, a really good person. I've never come across anybody that I've talked to, any other authors or people that have ever said anything bad about her.
I know she was trying to expose him then, and that's why that happened. That's kind of my idea.
I think she was a loose end that had the potential to talk about a lot of things that she saw, including the Savile stuff. She did not like him. That was known, you know.
They have a look to him too, like that guy.
And people knew. Like, I don't know if you've heard the 1979 Johnny Rotten interview where he's talking about he's talking to somebody during this interview, and the interviewer says, you know, if you could kill someone, Johnny Rotten, who would you kill? Who would you murder? He says, oh, if I could murder anybody, I'd murder Jimmy Savile. We all know what he does, you know? And it was like, what the fuck? You know? Dude, so like people knew,
especially being that big of a guy and never being like seen with women. Like, how are you going to be that famous? Like, if you're trying to hide what you're doing, you should have at least played it off where he like had women on his shoulders all the time, just things like that, you know? But he never even had a lady by him. He did all these things where he would like, oh, I'll take them to the next room. And he would like, you know, push somebody by himself. He'd be the one like pulling people out of ambulances. Like, the dude's a celebrity. Like, what gives him any right to do those types of things? Like, it was instantly questionable just off of that aspect. And then in interviews, he was always saying things like, what are you going to say when you get to the pearly gates? And he's like, oh, this is a list of all the bad things I've done. Well, I'm going to flip the page and say, but doesn't all this make up for it? Like, he said that kind of shit in interviews, and people still didn't catch up on that.
Oh, yeah. No, it all makes sense now. When you look back on it, Smith's write a song about him, you know? So, like, this is, it was known in the industry that that's what he was doing. But that's just, you know, that's, what are you going to do, right? That's, their thinking is, what am I going to do? Am I going to blow the whistle on this shit?
See, and then the entertainers, it's almost normalized within that, too, because then you got, like, all the 90s Nickelodeon stuff where... what was his name? The guy that had like the foot fetish, and he was touching all the kids that were Nickelodeon stars back in the early 90s, 2000s area. Like, it's all over Hollywood to the part where it's like normalized, where it's like, oh, you want this role? You're probably going to have to do something with this guy, even though you're 14, and then you're going to be famous for the rest of your life. So it's like, it gets pushed over just because it's so known in the entertainment industry, but like nobody does anything about it.
Yeah. It got normalized. It's really weird. I think because the entertainment industry is run by like psychopaths,
honestly. Yeah.
I mean, it's such a necessary part, that entertainment industry, such a necessary part of like getting the word out. So you obviously have the intelligence agencies connected to it, always have, and that I think impacts it a lot. It makes it so that our entertainment is very much geared towards what the people in control want us to believe and what want us to think. And they can hammer, if they control the whole industry, which they do, then they can just bombard you with a message and get you feeling one way. And then you know you're putting Ukraine flags and
Twitter bio.
So,
but I mean, even with Hollywood too, whether it's real or not, there's all the like occult ties to it. So it's like people would be willing to do things thinking that like, I have to do this to get famous because it's part of like a ritual or something like that. Be it if it's real or not, like people are normalizing and rationalizing it in their head, thinking that they're doing some type of like occult magic or something by having intercourse with kids or just doing things like that. So it gets like normalized in that aspect because everybody thinks you have to like sell your soul to be famous, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, man. Did you see that interview with the Island Boys? Remember, or I don't know, not interview, but they were one. You know those two like white rapper kids that looked like sea monkeys with their hair that was standing up. They were. I saw the guy do a TikTok video, and he's like, "Yo, man, you know how they sound like they're kind of like doped up." He's like, "Yo, man, I just sold my soul. I sold my soul to the devil, you know?" And he's like, "I feel like I shouldn't have done that. And I've been feeling really sad ever since." Did you see that video? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have seen it. But the funny part is, though, if he sold his soul, he didn't sell it good enough because they didn't get that much fame out of it. And everybody doesn't pay attention to him now, and they have no money.
I was watching him and I was thinking, man, either this kid is a really good actor or I felt very convinced by what he was saying. He acted like very sincere. And I honestly felt like a little bit sorry for him, you know?
See, like, my thing too is that it's like you try to sell a car, but it's not really yours. Like there's a lot of different things that like you use it, you possess it, but it's not yours. So like trying to sell your soul, theoretically, like if you believe in whatever religion, that would mean that your soul, whatever, belonged to like whatever God you believe in. So at that point, it's like, would you even technically have the right to be able to sell your soul in the first place? Or is it more of like a mental trick, you know, that they know that like if you believe in all that kind of stuff, that if it's you sell your soul and then at that point you think that you're already going somewhere bad, so then you do whatever you want the rest of your life. But realistically, it's not that sale that puts you there, it's the fact that you thought you could do whatever you wanted for the rest of your life that's going to end up putting you there. So it's like a trick that you never really sold your soul in the first place. You just started doing shitty things because you thought that you were going to go there anyways.
I've never thought of it like that, but yeah, that's okay.
A little bit out there. I was thinking about that today.
Yeah, man. Well, but look, here's the thing. It's like, we can dismiss it and be like, what? I don't know if these people are making it up or not, but they believe it. There's something going on in Hollywood where they honestly believe that they have sold their soul. I've seen some crazy shit. Have you seen the Beyonce video of her sitting courtside with Jay-Z and she's like totally out of it?
Yeah.
She's just rocking back and forth. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, I'm no medical doctor. I don't know shit. I don't know anything. Right. It's just my humble observation. She looked like she was like in a trance.
I mean, that could be part of it too, is maybe all these celebrities and things, it's not something so like religious, so to speak, but it's actually just advanced MK Ultra. And that's what it's moved into now, is that rather than trying to control people directly, they control a small group of people. And in turn, those people have such influence on the rest of society that they're able to mind control the rest of society by just taking control of a handful of people.
Right. Right.
And it makes the whole operation way easier. And then you're
it's multi-level marketing. Of mind control.
Yeah, literally. And it's just advancing too. Cause I mean, if they're already doing those experiments, back in the 60s, like imagine how advanced they are now going on 60 years later.
Like I do a show, called Day Zero with Lindsay Sharman, and Lindsay Sharman says that she had, an astral projection or an out-of-body experience where she went somewhere. And she went to a place there that was a clone factory. You know, and I'm going to relay her story. But it was like a clone factory. And she said that she could see all these big tubes, and it was all like, they look like presidents.
Speaking of that, kind of funny. Have you seen the movie, what's it called? Multiplicity? Is that what it's called? The one with where the guy clones himself multiple times to try to get stuff.
Michael Keaton.
Yep.
Yeah. A long time ago, I think I saw it. Yeah, I think, or I saw part of it, but I have an idea. Because like, there's like a degraded versions of himself.
See, and that's my theory. I'm like, if cloning is real, like maybe Biden is a clone of a clone of a clone, and that's why he just seems to be getting worse and not knowing what the hell's going on too. So like, there's a lot of things that, going off of like the sci-fi that goes with cloning, that you could see it in real life. But again, it could just be a big ploy as part of the entertainment industry, because a lot of people might be like, oh, I have a clone like that. What's that? I forgot the rapper's name, but he was like sitting on the couch next to his clone. And it's like, you can't trust video anymore. And anybody will do anything to try to boost their name and become more famous. But at the same time, there's a lot of like weird little things that you'll notice are like different about somebody's face, or like Hillary Clinton, for example, like every single time you see her on camera, she looks the same, but different at the same time.
Eminem looks totally different to me.
Yeah. That's another one too.
There's the bigger version of Dave Chappelle, which it seems like a bigger version of him, but that could just be, he's working out. I don't know, but he seemed like he was on HGH or something, or maybe I don't know, man. I'm interested in it. I'm interested in the idea that there's actually clones. I've seen the videos of the really well done masks.
Oh like yeah. The ones where they almost look real, like the ones the government uses.
Yeah. Exactly. The ones that the government uses, and you see something like that. And I fully recognize I'm not seeing it live. I'm seeing it on camera, but you see that and you go, I mean, I really would never be able to tell that wasn't the person, right? So is it unreasonable to think that they've got a backup Biden?
I mean, even the cloning thing, like they're cloning sheep back in the 90s, so like looking at it now, it's 30 years later, like who knows what they could have progressed to. And theoretically too, like the person's there, they're fine, they take something from them, part of their DNA, so they could clone them. And it's almost like fruits and vegetables, that if you genetically alter it just a little bit, then you can get patent on it and you can own it. Right. So they could be doing the same thing with people, but they're not looking at it as those are people. They're looking at it as like, this is a property that I own and it's an experiment. It's not an actual person because the person is actually over there.
Yep. That's what I've been speculating about that too. Genetically modified people. So that they can make you just one deviation away from human because you've got this mRNA technology in you now and you and what and everything else that will eventually kind of connect you and make you technically, maybe legally, not human. And if you're not human, well, then now it opens you up to all sorts of, do these laws apply to you? Do you have any rights? You're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to free speech because you're not technically a human. This is really the free speech thing is for humans and you're not one. Think about how crazy that could go.
I mean, even Neuralink, they could put that in somebody and then say that they're not a solid human anymore because they need to be upgraded. And then that's a whole other level of control where if you get a Neuralink, they'll say like, oh, you have some bugs. Well, we're not going to update it unless you get the COVID vaccine because you need that. And then it just forces this whole thing where it's like people would need the upgrades because otherwise they'd have technical issues, like whatever, like people could hack into something theoretically and like start fucking with your body. Like, yep. Don't trust putting technology in your body because everything can theoretically be hacked.
Yeah, man. And it's a very dangerous direction they're taking us. And I think that people need to recognize where, you know, like, let's not be in such a huge hurry to have an extra convenience at the expense of giving away some of our privacy or our body or bodily autonomy. Don't allow these people to normalize the threat of saying you can't work here unless you have a vaccine. Fuck that shit. Immediately.
They try to do it in movies too, where I feel like older sci-fi movies are almost trying to like warn of things, but people are looking at the stuff that we have now and they're like, oh, that reminds me of this old sci-fi movie. Just looking at it from like an entertainment aspect and not realizing that a lot of these old sci-fi writers are trying to like warn people of things. And then now they've taken a whole control over the narrative on that, where they try to make everything seem normal and like it's super cool. And they don't do it in the same, like when you see like advanced tech movies, they try to make them with like a happy ending. Now they make them seem normal, where like the old 80s sci-fi is like doom and gloom at the end. And that was the intention. Yeah. Like they try to control the narrative to make it sound better.
Sometimes there's a big nuclear bomb at the end of the movie, you know, in the 80s. Now everybody's a different gender.
Yeah, talk about flip-flop too, is that like older kids movies, you had a clear good guy and a clear bad guy. Now they tried to blur that line so that kids can't differentiate the difference between good and bad. And then you have sci-fi that would end on a bad note back in the 80s. And now you have sci-fi that ends on like a high happy note. Like they totally flipped and changed like the narrative on how they do things to try to influence people off of that. And then like, you can see through it once you start kind of sitting back and seeing it.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's scary though, that shows just, again, like we're talking about with the whole influencing thing with mind control. Like people are so easily influenced through media that you only need to theoretically control a handful of people and you can control the entire population because everybody looks up to those people and wants to be them for some reason, not realizing they have this whole dark past, all these shitty things they've done. And then you're looking at celebrities and going like, why can't I be you? Like that celebrity killed himself. Like, why would they do that? They have everything in the world, not realizing that celebrity can't live with themselves anymore because of all the messed up stuff that they've done through their life. And they're not killing themselves or doing all these drugs just because they're famous. They're doing all the drugs and they end up killing themselves because they're trying to block out all the bad things that they've done to get to where they're at.
Yeah, man. Hollywood's a dirty, dirty place.
Yeah.
And Disney, you know, they're a part of that. And so we're seeing corporations participate in this sort of changing of social norms and the normalization of all of this.
I see a crazy amount of gay pride flags that have a Mickey Mouse ears on it. And it's just like, you're looking at it like, oh, they're being progressive. That's how normal people would see it. But you're sitting back and looking at it going, why are you mixing sexuality with a supposed children's movie maker?
I agree. It's disgusting. And I mean, it's like take that out. Don't try to please everybody. Like, focus on your target market. You're trying to appeal to families. So
see, and that's what they're starting to get towards too, is that people are tired of the woke agenda, and you're starting to see the pushback now, like a bunch of people boycotting the Buzz Lightyear movie. It's like, in my opinion, there's not really a need for a romantic relationship in a kid's movie unless it fills into the story, which would be like a new character coming to be born or something like that. If there's just like a couple that's like kissing in a kid's movie just to be progressive, it's like there's no need for that, because theoretically there's not really a need for even the other side of it, because again, it's a kid's movie,
right? Like, but when you see it in there, then you go, why is this in there? And then you think, oh, it's part of there's a push for this. There's an interest in normalizing this sort of stuff. And so you go, well, why is that? And they, well, you know, they have an idea about remaking society, you know, so that you see things a whole lot differently than you do now. And part of that is to really start to blur this whole gender line and, you know, really start to normalize some things that have never been normal in the past.
Like you see it in like, what's that movie called? It's, I always say it wrong, but Enchant, whatever that kid's movie is. There's like the big
butch,
Encanto. Yeah. The big butch manly sister. Like people are looking at that like, oh, that's cool. They added a strong woman, but you're like looking at it from the aspect of like, that's not supposed to be a strong woman. That's supposed to be like normalizing like transgender in a children's movie. Like it's a girl that's extremely manlike. like I'm looking past it and I'm just like, I don't know. I can't unsee it now that I've seen it. It's one of those kind of things. And I'm watching all these kids' movies with my daughter, and it's like certain ones like Red or Turning Red or whatever, for example. Mm-hmm. Like my daughter liked that movie. I watched the first time and I'm sitting there like, something's off about this movie. And then I look at like the age that they gear it towards, and it's supposed to be for like around five or so. And the whole idea is like, fuck your parents, do what you want. Like, it doesn't matter what they think about you, which is like, it can be looked at in a good way, but at the same time, it can also be looked at in the whole agenda of like destroying the whole family concept and making it so kids are more prone to be like, fuck you, I'm going to do my own thing. And then they're going to fall into the modern narrative, and they're trying to push out us older generation people that have the idea of like what nature intended life to be. But once you get so far off from that, they'll have no idea. Like I was talking to my nieces and nephews today, and they're like, they didn't even want to believe me that people are animals. They're like, no, we're not. I'm like, what are we then? Like we're clearly animals, you know? Like they pull everybody away from like that natural idea of like how things are supposed to be. And even in nature, like there's gender roles in nature and they're needed. Like a wolf, like two wolves, for example, the female wolf will act like she's scared and protect the male's neck, like she's like hiding underneath. But again, she's trying to protect the male's neck while the male attacks the other creature that's attacking. Or even like lions, for example, like the females, they go out, they hunt, the male protects the babies. Like, and it's not really flip-flopped. Like that's nature intends for certain creatures to act certain ways. So why are we fighting so hard to go against what we're naturally intended to do? Like males are naturally supposed to be the protectors of the family. That's why we're built the way we're built. So it's like, why are we pushing that away and trying to pretend like masculinity is a bad thing? But when it comes down to it, like that girl's going to want the most masculine man that she can have when it comes down to a life or death situation. She's not going to want one of these little frilly dilly boys. Like, she's going to want that tough man that's going to be able to stand up for her, you know? And like at the heart, everybody knows it at the bottom of their heart that that's how things are supposed to be, but everybody's fighting so hard to change it, you know?
I think it's depopulation. I think that when that's your core value, which is what the United Nations and the World Economic Forum and these groups are all about, is depopulation at their core, then you invest in this. You say, well, we're going to do the chemical stuff to depopulate, but let's see if we can't manipulate society and get them so confused about who they are that they stop having sex with each other and stop populating. Because I just did a whole show on Kissinger's 1974 memo, his depopulation memo, and it's frightening because he lays out this whole plan for it, you know, and you read it and you're like, oh my God, this is like insanity. And so you know that that's what they want. Mm-hmm. Like they state it's a 123 page document talking about their role in depopulating the third world. And they mention the countries by name, and they show how much money they have for it. And it's wild, man. And so like, after you know that is a top secret document that was declassified decades later, you know, once you know that that's a real thing and that that's the government's policy, is that of depopulation in the third world. Then you start to go, oh, I understand. These people are insane. They will do anything. They want to depopulate the third world. They want to depopulate us too. So they get everybody confused about what gender they are and what, you know, toxic masculinity and all that shit. And that works to like make everything murky.
Dude, and honestly, they're scaring people away from families, even with like the shortages that we're having. Like I was pointing this out on one of my other shows that we went from a diaper shortage. Again, makes it hard to have babies if you can't get diapers. And then we went into a formula shortage, kind of hard to feed your baby if you can't get them food. And then the next thing after that was a tampon shortage. And if girls can't get tampons, what's the next thing they're going to do? They're going to go on birth control. And then they might only have their period a couple times a year. So then like right after I was ranting about this, and then the Roe versus Wade thing happened. So it makes people even more scared because they think that, you know, you can go to another state and do what you got to do, like whatever, like your views are your views on that. But everybody thinks that they pretty much made it so like nobody can do this anymore. So that it scared a generation that doesn't understand what was actually happening to think twice, like, oh no, like if I have intercourse, I'm going to get pregnant. And then right after I was ranting about all this, like a day or two later, Kyle ended up sending me a clip that was basically saying a bunch of Gen Zs were basically like scared to have intercourse now. And they're trying to look for like other methods. And I was like, damn, it looks like we're going to be moving towards Demolition Man, where people are scared to physically touch each other because they destroyed the family unit. And we're going to be putting on like VR helmets to have intercourse with each other.
Man, it's frustrating because all the energy that they're putting into doing all this shit and creating these agendas could be used for good. You know, it could be used to actually better society, and they choose to just make everything miserable. And I hate that. It's just frustrating.
See, because it's one of those things, though, too, that if people are miserable, they just want to go home, watch a movie, go to sleep. Like they do it intentionally so that people aren't looking into things, because people are like happy. They want to read. They want to do all this kind of shit. And again, like you're saying, their narrative is going to start falling apart. But if they keep people in this pissed off, angry area where they're worried about like this person did this to me at work today, like fuck them, and they're mad about it the rest of the night, and they get home, they just want to go to sleep. Like keeping people in that negative mindset also keeps them away from figuring things out because they're too busy being pissed off at the world.
they hate you, and they wish you were dead because you're taking up too much space on their planet. That's how they see us. It's very frustrating, but I mean, what are we going to do, right? We're going to point it out, do what we can, talk about it.
That's all we can do, and hope that we wake up the right people.
As aware of it as we can, so that, you know, if you understand that this is out there and that these people are doing it, then all of a sudden you'll start to pick up on it a little bit more. And it's just important to be as informed as you can about like what's actually happening, not what the media is saying, but like what's really going on. So it's just, you know, I appreciate you having me back on because, you know, we get a chance to talk about some things that, you know, you're never going to ever hear on the nightly news.
I love having you on too, because you're always the one that I like, you have the same views as me as far as like society and rants. So
yeah,
like I love going back and forth.
We have a low tolerance for stupidity.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to too. And it's like, I listen to your show too, of course. And it's like every point you make is like super solid as far as I'm concerned. And it's like, I get it. And I'm coming from the same viewpoint, you know,
I'm just trying to be as logical as I can and look at trying to be as objective as I can. And I understand you know, we all have our biases. I try to just honestly look at a situation and see if it makes any sense to me. And then it's just been nothing but lies from the media. We're just told, you know, fanciful stories all the time that don't make any sense. And we're expected to trust these people. It's very, I don't know. It's frustrating, but I feel like
kind of like 1985, 2 + 2 = 5.
Yeah. And that's what there's expect. A lot of that going on. And I must confess to being a little bit conflicted, because there is part of me, not the good part of me, but bad part of me that wants to say, like, you know, if you think 2 + 2 = 5, then you can fuck off. And yeah. I don't want you anywhere near me, you know? So I would prefer that people just rightly look at that and go, this is crazy. I'm not participating in the 2 + 2 = 5 bullshit. And because all of this stuff goes away if we collectively decide that it goes away. And that's the thing. So it's like, they're trying to dumb us down. We're trying to kind of wake people up as fast as we can.
So I think it's going to be one of
our shows do something, you know. I don't know how we would ever measure it, but maybe, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe somebody hears something.
It's a chain of events though. Cause yeah, my show's still relatively new, and I've had 3 or 4 people that hit me up and said like, "Hey, I want to start a podcast. Like, what should I do to get started?" So it's like, that starts the next chain. And then they inspire 2 more people. And it's just, it's a way of waking people up. And if we all become podcasters, like, that's fine, because that just shows that how many people there are that are willing to actually stand up and take a stand and say no, finally, because if it wasn't for COVID, I feel like people again wouldn't have that push to actually just say no, because everybody just kind of floated along with what society wanted them to do.
Well, yeah, I'm more the merrier as far as the podcasters go. Yeah. I want more people to be inspired to do it, to talk about what they're seeing, what they think is interesting. And
it's a healthy means to vent too.
What's that?
Oh, I said it's a healthy means to vent in a sense too, because rather than having all this stuff bottled up inside of you where you have all that negative emotion, like we were talking about earlier, like even if you're talking about not happy things, like you feel better just being able to like say it out loud and actually have people listen to you.
Yeah. It's cathartic in that way. And you know, look, probably good to talk it out too, to sort of see how you feel about things. So I found that like when I've had normie friends, I ask them questions and get them to talk about what their answers are. And then like halfway through their answer, they realize their answer doesn't make any sense. Like how they thought is like, I never even really thought about that. Or I never really thought to verbalize that. And so I'm trying to do that with my show, is just get people to maybe look at something.
You just
got to
start with one small little thing. And then once they start questioning one little thing, then it spirals down. So like anybody that you don't think could theoretically be like red pilled. Like you just got to start with one little thing that they seem like they're a little bit questionable about. And then you start pointing stuff out, and then the whole narrative falls apart for them too.
Yeah. So I feel obligated because I see these things from writing about it. I feel like an obligation to sort of like sound the alarm and say like, this is what I see coming. It, you know,
that's same for me too. It's like, I feel like I enjoy podcasting anyways, but it's one of those things that once you get rolling, you almost feel like in a sense you're doing like a public service, and it's like just being able to say the things that you believe in.
I feel the same way, and I don't want that to come off as like snotty or anything like that, but I just feel like an obligation, like, ooh, like if I knew that things were going to be really bad and I didn't say anything, like, ooh, okay, that's not great.
I mean, you also make people feel better too, because there's a lot of people out there that feel like they're the only one that thinks this certain way. And then once they start listening to these podcasts, they realize there's a million other people that are thinking that way. So in a way, you're also helping other people out to not feel so alone. And you make them feel like it's okay to have the thoughts that they have, and they don't need to like repress them because everybody in the rest of their world is woke, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's important to know you're not alone and that you're not crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
What you're seeing, am I seeing what I'm seeing? Yeah, you're seeing it. You're seeing it. And you're right. Don't let them, they're going to tell you you're nuts for, you know, they're going to tell you don't believe your eyes. That's the old Orwell thing. But that's, they have to do that when they're the little group and you're the big group. They have to get you to work against your own self-interest and believe things that aren't true and be scared all the time. And if you know that, it makes you less susceptible to it. So that's just really my point with this. It's like, here's some information, do with it what you will. But I think if you know this, you're going to be less likely to fall into these traps these motherfuckers are setting, because they have to do that in order to control large groups of people. And they're very good at it. Let's be honest. They're very good at what they do. They know how to get us controlled. So like, understand the game and avoid it.
Yeah, exactly. And then connect the dots. And that's what people are starting to figure out about. Because now it's not like a pull for not having enough information. It's more having the ability to sort through information and not, because we have endless information at our fingertips. But now it's a matter of like what's real, what's not. And people are starting to develop that ability to be able to differentiate like what's bullshit and what's actually real. And yep. That's, you know, what we're sitting here trying to point out and just connecting dots.
It's because once you start thinking about it and once you start analyzing things, you get better at recognizing them. You know, you get better. You see that you start to see the same names or you start to see these patterns. You start to get better at reading through all the bullshit. And, you know, I just personally want to know I just want to know how it all works. I just want to know what I'm up against. That's all. I'm very curious about that stuff. So I don't have any sort of unrealistic expectations that we're going to like fix the world or anything with our shows. But like, I feel like if we can have the conversation at least about it, like who knows where that leads, you know, people start thinking about this whole situation differently. And maybe that's how things change. Cause as they say, you don't need to change like 51% of the people. You need to change like 3%. That's what they say when they're talking about making cultural revolutions in countries. They say you really only need about 3% of the population to turn in order to get them. So if you can wake up 3%, theoretically, that has a domino effect that wakes up the rest. So, you know, so we look at like where we are in 2022 with Biden fumbling and everything is sort of, it seems like the wheels are falling off. It's like, well, maybe this is what it's going to take to wake up that 3% to what's going on. And then things will change. So,
yeah, it's got to start somewhere, but I guess that's a good point to start wrapping up the show a little bit. So sure. I know you did it before, but I always like to do words of wisdom from the guests to the listeners. So it may be different. It may be the same, but what would your words of wisdom be to the listeners today?
Well, listen, don't ever trust the mainstream corporate whore media on anything. Okay. They are there to deceive you. They are very good at their job, despite their, you know, we catch them making mistakes, but they're very good at creating these narratives. Stay away from them or at least maybe watch them to hear what they're saying, but just understand that they're selling you a false reality and it's deliberate. So be very sensitive to that and get as much money as you can out of your banks.
Dude, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that too, is that the Huntington's in my state, which sucks because I have Huntington, the last 2 weeks, no matter what Huntington I go to, their withdrawals don't work. So I've been theorizing about there being another issue where they're trying to push out money because then they could track every dollar that everybody spends because it's all digital at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely want to try and get your assets held in something that isn't denominated, you know, in dollars pretty soon.
I mean, the dollar skills, because that'll take you a long way in the future. Yeah, you can do a lot of things that other people can't do. Like that's just as good as currency.
Yeah, for sure. So my words of wisdom would be a little bit paranoid. Like you're allowed to, like allow yourself to be a little bit paranoid and say, okay, fine. I'm going to take some money out of the bank because I think that's a good idea. I'm not going to listen to the mainstream media because I think they're pathological liars. And I'm going to be very distrustful of anything that comes from the pharmaceutical industry.
Trust your gut feeling. If something's off, question it.
And if you have those, and if you are weary of those institutions, you're not alone. Okay. There's a lot of people that understand how you feel. Cause the pharmaceutical industry is very, very dangerous. You know, we need to be aware of that. And because we're about to face like a media barrage.
Yeah.
Tied to pharma with, you know, the pushing of more vaccines and things like that. So it's like, just know that the fear campaign is going to ramp up because they're pot committed on this idea of scaring the shit out of you with a virus. And so it's, so just get ready for it.
So you got to hope that people will stay on their ground when it comes down to it instead of falling in. But
yeah. Don't fall for the bullshit.
For anybody that enjoyed the show, where did they come and find you at?
Macroaggressions podcast goes out twice a week, once as a monologue, once as a video interview. You can find it in video format on band.video, Iconic, Rockfin, and Odyssey. You can find it in audio format wherever podcasts are available. And you can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression. And the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. I have books available for sale there. And information. We're going to be building out a new website pretty soon. But for now, that's the spot. And thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks always for coming good. On, man. I had a lot of fun talking to you today.
Yeah, me too, man. It was good.
We'll have to get together for a third one in a couple months. You know,
for sure.
Definitely. So, for all the listeners that enjoy it, I'm glad that you're still sticking around. And I guess I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.